Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, I ask that this morning, this time may be used to bring you honor and glory, that this time may be used to help us grow in knowledge and wisdom of who you are. And Lord, may we just set aside the struggles and the things of today and of this world, and may we just focus on you. Lord, we thank you for our offerings. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us through them, and may we use them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end. Just one move with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you.
So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. It's all that I have is a
throw up my hands. praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. This is one of my favorite times of the service. You guys know that. It's our My Three. The opportunity we have to come and to pray for those who don't know Jesus. You know, we've all been blessed, at least most of us in here, I believe, have been blessed in the opportunity that we've been presented with the gospel, that we've been given this opportunity to respond to Jesus' saving grace and what he did up on the cross. But you know, there's many people in our world who've not had that same opportunity, who don't have that same knowledge. And when we come into that knowledge, we have a responsibility to share that information with the world around us, and to partner with God to be the hands and feet of Jesus with him whilst we're here. Because we know it's only through Jesus that we're saved. It's nothing that we can do on our own other than through Jesus. And one of the ways that we partner with him in this moment is by taking time to pray for those who don't know him and pray for that they may come to know who Jesus is as their personal Lord and Savior. And so with that being said, I want you guys to think about your three people in your life who don't know Jesus, who need him. The three people in your life that are walking around this world with no hope, no security, no anything, that they may come to know who Jesus is. So let's go to the Lord in prayer right now and lift them up by name. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with heavy and yet joyful hearts. Lord, we all know people who don't know you. We all know people that are looking for love, they're looking for hope, they're looking for joy, and they're looking in all the wrong places. Lord, we ask that you reveal themselves, reveal yourself to them. Lord, that you do a new work inside of their hearts. Father, may we be bold to share you with our friends and our family. And Lord, if we're not the ones who are supposed to do it, bring the person along. And may their hearts be softened and ready to hear. Father, we lift them up by name in this moment. And we thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for all the prayers that you have heard and answered. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. You have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness.
Rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
Sing your praise.
in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
You may be seated.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Frederick, and I'm here to tell you about a new Sunday school class we're going to start. We're going to be going through a book called How God Makes Men, and we're going to talk about 10 epic stories of 10 amazing people in the Bible who had a lot of faults, and it's just like us. We all have our weaknesses, but through God, we can be strong. So I encourage you to come check out our class. We're going to be meeting in the, what do you call this room here? The conference room. Thank you. All right.
Good morning. I am Marv Starzik, and I lead, not teach, an adult Sunday school class. We meet in the classroom right here to the left, to the rear, and our class is made up of many different people who bring amazing thoughts to what we study together. We have various Bible commentaries that help guide us through the books. I can say that everyone participates openly and freely. Sometimes we do not always agree at times, but we do respect input from everyone. We get some great input from people that listen to David Jeremiah and other pastors on the radio or online. Others give us input on what they are reading through other books. Another great time is when Ray informs of what is going on in Israel that we don't normally hear about. And when we need real help, we ask Betty what her commentary says. Right, Betty? Yeah. One thing we have started doing as part of our opening prayer and praise time is to ask if anyone has had any God moments in their life that they wanted to share. We have had some great ones of how God has been working or doing things for and through us all. When I first started attending here back in 2020, we were guided by a quarterly lesson provided to the Church of God. It was discontinued that we started just studying the Bible. That led us to go through parts of Isaiah and Daniel to lead us through the book of Revelation. Those were some exciting and challenging times, trying to figure out what God was telling us about the end times through John was great. We still do not fully understand it, but maybe God wants it that way, because he does say to be ready when the time comes. We are currently on the last chapter of the book of Philip, so we'll start Colossians after that, and we'd love to have more of you join our group. We are seeing how the early church was and how it applies to us today. God wants us to study his word, and a Sunday school class is a great way to do this. Ideally, we should be studying God's word more than that, but if you want a starting point, then Sunday school could be it. We look forward to welcoming you into our group and see where God leads us. Amen. Welcome back, Pastor.
Thank you. Well, good morning, church. Good morning. It's good to be back again this morning. And I want to thank you guys for being patient with me as I've taken the last two Sundays to get married, go on a little honeymoon with my wife, and adjust to a little bit of a change of pace from me and a dog to me and a whole family. It's been wonderful. It really, really genuinely has been wonderful. I also want to thank Pastor Kerwin and for our elder Jeff Frederick for taking the pulpit whilst I was gone, allowing me to just rest and enjoy that time. I'm going to welcome everyone here and our guests that are joining us here and those joining us online and the radio. We're thankful for each and every one of you guys. But before we dive into the word this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your words and the example that Jesus was for each one of us. Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers, that you have this desire for a deeper relationship with each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that this morning it is your words that are spoken, and that if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, I pray that it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. Father, that we look to you for our hope and our future, and that we remember the love that you have for each and every one of us. We pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to dive right back into our Life of Christ series that we've been in for a while. You know, we're getting closer and closer to the end of this series, where we'll be looking at Jesus' death, burial, and his resurrection. Throughout this series, we've been looking at how Jesus responds to different situations in life. We've been looking at how Jesus treats others, how he spoke to others. We've been looking at how to answer that age-old question, what would Jesus do? Oh, you know, we live in a world where people often don't know how to answer that question truly. What would Jesus do? If we ask that, we're going to get a million and one different answers. You know, many of us have an idea of who we believe Jesus is and what he would do in different moments. We have an idea, or at least something that we hope Jesus would do in those moments. But the reality is, majority of our world doesn't understand who Jesus is and what he truly did. And if we're going to be able to answer that question, what would Jesus do? We have to take a look at his life. We have to look at what he actually said and what he actually did. And that's why we've been spending this time in the Gospels. You know, in the last couple of weeks alone, we've seen Jesus challenge some of the narratives of our own culture about Jesus. For example, the last time we were in this series, we saw Jesus challenging the notion that all we have to do is be good enough. If we want to go to heaven, all we need to do is be good enough. Within our culture, within the world we live in, oftentimes people believe that if they're good enough, they get to go. As long as they're better than the person beside them, they're good to go. But we saw Jesus challenge that very notion. Instead, we were reminded that it is in Christ and Christ alone that we're saved. And it's through Christ and Christ alone that we are restored to our Heavenly Father. And it's our only chance to live out eternity with him. You know, none of us are capable of getting there on our own merits. None of us are capable of getting there because we're suddenly good enough. I mean, if we're good enough on our own, if we could do it on our own, there would have been absolutely no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. There would have been no reason for Jesus to come and do any of this if we could accomplish it on our own. You know, that being a Christian is not about remembering a bunch of rules. It's not about religion, but instead it's all about a relationship with our Heavenly Father that is being made possible through the grace of Jesus. We need to understand that we're all sinners in need of grace, and that grace was poured out on Calvary. And at the end of the day, we all have a decision to make. Do we choose Jesus or do we choose the world? When we choose Jesus, we are choosing a holy life. One that's set apart and different than the world around us. But unfortunately, we know that many will choose the world over Jesus. And the list of the reasons of why people choose the world over Jesus can go on quite a while. I think if we look down and we start looking and asking, it's not the same answer for everyone. But what we often don't understand is how much this breaks God's heart when we choose the world over him. And we're going to see that this morning in our passage. We're going to be over in Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 35, for anyone who wants to follow along. And you guys know one of the most famous Bible passages is simply John 3:16, right? It both Christians and non-Christians alike have memorized or have heard this verse. And depending on your English translation, it kind of goes something like this. For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. It's one of the core truths of the gospel. That God loves the world. That God loves his creation. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, and he created everything within this world and in the universe, he looked down on his creation, and he was pleased, and he said it was good. Yet when sin entered this world, it created this divide between God and his creation. And from the beginning, when the sin entered, it grieved God. He struggled with it. And out of his love for each of us, out of his love for his creation, he set out to restore his creation back to him, back to that relationship with him. So what did he do? He sent his one and only son, Jesus, to come and pay a debt he did not owe by dying on the cross to make a way where there was no other way so that he could restore his creation back to him. And inside of our passage this morning, we see Jesus staying true to that mission, no matter what the cost. We see this unshakable resolve to fulfill his mission. But we also see another truth of the gospel in the passage this morning. It's one that I think we often miss. We see how brokenhearted Jesus gets over those who reject him and his love for them. You know, inside of our passage this morning is both a warning and a comfort for us. A warning against hard-hearted rejections of God and comfort of knowing the heart of God is merciful and loving towards each of us. That nothing will throw off God from his plan to restore mankind to himself. So let's dive in this morning. Let's take a look at our passage. And to set the stage, let me remind you just a few things real quick. In Luke chapter 13, what's going on is Jesus had been teaching in a synagogue, a place like a modern-day church, and there was these people all around him. Everything from lay people, just basic people coming in, all the way up to the Pharisees, the leaders of the church, were there with Jesus in that moment. On top of that, Jesus had been saying some things that had not been sitting well with the leaders of that day. He had been challenging their very way of life. He'd been challenging how they do things. Because of that, they were trying to figure out how to get rid of Jesus. The more he challenged them, the more they wanted to get rid of him. So it tells us in verse 31, at that time, some Pharisees came and told him, go, get out of here. Herod wants to kill you. You know, when we first read that verse, it almost sounds like the Pharisees like Jesus, and they're trying to be helpful, doesn't it? You know, just coming up to Jesus like that, letting them know, hey, Herod might want to kill you. You might want to get out of here. It's not good for you anymore. Yet something seems off when you think back to who the Pharisees are. You know, I can't think of a single reason of why they would want to help Jesus inside of this moment. I mean, they themselves have plotted on how to get rid of Jesus over and over again, have they not? They themselves have tried to figure out how they could kill Jesus and not have this mass uprising happen around them. There's almost no interaction with the Pharisees that make me believe that they were genuinely concerned about Jesus. Instead, what I believe was going on here is they were simply trying to get rid of Jesus and get him out of the area. And they thought by telling Jesus of Herod's plan, whether true or not, would cause Jesus to run away afraid. And it would be a way to get rid of their Jesus problem. Now, did Herod want to kill Jesus? There's always a chance that he did. Herod had killed many others before. But I don't believe they came and told Jesus about this plan out of the goodness of their hearts. Instead, I believe they were trying to manipulate Jesus, trying to distract Jesus from the mission at hand. They were trying to use fear. And you know, fear is often a powerful tool that the world uses. It's often a powerful tool that the devil tries to use to divert us from what God's plan is for our lives. You know, it's not just temptation that throws us away. A lot of times when we're thinking of ways in which we get distracted from one way or another of what God has called us to do, we often think of temptation, don't we? But it's so much more than temptation that throws us off. Fear and anxiety can throw us off actually worse than temptation. I want you to think about this for a minute. How often has fear or anxiety stopped you from sharing the gospel with the world around you? How often has fear or anxiety stopped you from being the hands and feet of Jesus to the world around you? Fear of being persecuted, fear of being rejected, fear of being looked down on, fear of what we might lose. And you know, that's exactly what the Pharisees were trying to do to Jesus in this moment. They were trying to cause fear in Jesus' life, hoping that he would just go away, hoping that it would shut him up. But Jesus, being Jesus, responded perfectly in this moment. He says in verse 32, he said to them, "Go tell that fox, look, I'm driving out demons and performing healings today. And tomorrow on the third day, I will complete my work." It's clear that Jesus was not going to let fear win out. He wasn't going to allow fear to stop him from carrying out the mission that the Heavenly Father had called him to. And just because Herod threatened him didn't mean he was going to stop. Instead, we see Jesus standing up and calling Herod out. He called him that fox. Now, there's a cultural thing that we need to understand inside of this moment. You see, in first century Judaism, calling someone a fox is calling someone an insignificant person. So here we have Jesus starting his response with saying, "Hey, go tell that insignificant person I'm busy." This is Herod, the leader of the area, the man who can have Jesus killed. And he's like, "Hey, he's insignificant. I'm busy. I don't have time to deal with him right now. I'm busy doing what the Father has called me to do." He wasn't worried about Herod. He understood that Herod could do nothing to him in this moment. He understood that he was on his Father's timeline right now, and he was on a mission to restore lives, to heal both the body, mind, and soul. And nothing in this world could control Jesus' life and ministry, that he would be faithful to the very end. This is one of those life lessons that we can learn from Jesus. You know, each and every one of us have been gifted in different ways. Each and every one of us have a unique calling on our lives. Yet so often we can allow fear and anxiety to distract us from that calling. But I want to encourage you this morning to look at how Jesus handled this moment. You know, Jesus could have ran and hid when he heard what Herod wanted to do. You know, Jesus could have snuck away from the people and stopped his mission, thinking of what it might cost him. But instead, we saw Jesus pushing back against the distractions and pushing forward in his calling. He says in verse 33, "Yet it is necessary that I travel today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it's not possible for a prophet to perish outside of Jerusalem." Jesus understood that he had to go to Jerusalem. He understood his mission, and nothing was going to distract him from fulfilling that mission. There's also a very deep irony inside of this passage, a very deep one. Jerusalem, the city of God, the very heart and center of worship for the nation of Israel. It's where the temple was located. It's the location that a lot of God's revelation had been revealed to mankind. It's also the very place that many of God's prophets were killed. And Jesus was heading there. He knew what laid before him. He understood he was like a lamb being led to slaughter. And yet he still went. How many of you would be willing to walk towards your death if you knew of what was coming? You know, in our Americanized Christianity, we often like to think that if we say yes to Jesus, suddenly our lives are going to become easy. How many people think that that's how that works? That everything just, suddenly our lives become easy. That we no longer have to worry about hardships, that we no longer have to worry about struggles. Now, don't get me wrong, Jesus walks with us through each one of these things. Don't get me wrong. He is there. He makes it capable when we lean on him, but it doesn't mean we won't have difficulty. You know, there's teachers out there that'll tell you, if you really have faith, then you won't be poor anymore. You know, the reason you're poor is you just don't have enough faith. There's others that say, if you really have faith, you won't face a single difficult time anymore in your life. That if you really have faith, you can't even become sick. By the way, one of those teachers that say that has a defibrillator in his heart. He just doesn't tell anybody. It's a little irony there. That basically our lives become easy peasy. Yet nowhere in the scriptures do we see anything even remotely close to this. You know, as Christians, we're called to model our lives after Christ. It's clear that sometimes in our walk that we will face difficult situations. We will face tough situations. And all we have to do to see how that worked is look at the disciples. You know, after Jesus ascended into heaven and the disciples started going around and telling everybody, hey, look, the Messiah was here. It was Jesus, and he paid a debt and made a way for each and every person. The synagogue leaders didn't like him, so what did they do? They brought the disciples in. They whipped them and they beat them and told them to not speak about Jesus anymore. But what did the disciples do? They came out praising and worshiping God that they were counted worthy enough to be beaten for the sake of Christ. When we look at the first century church, they faced all types of opposition and suffering as well. Stephen, the very first martyr recorded in Acts, was stoned to death for standing firm on the word of God. And they did this all with such confidence as Christ did in this moment. Because we're never promised an easy life, but we are promised that he goes with us. Because we need to remember, just as the first century church did, just as the disciples did, that we're not alone in any of this. That we can trust that God walks with us no matter what we face, no matter what storms come our way. We can trust that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and cherishes us and goes before us and walks through this with us. You know, if God had called us to something, we can trust that he is going with us to it. We just have to trust him. I had to trust him to move out here. And sometimes that trust is a day-by-day thing. Sometimes it's an hour-by-hour thing. And even other times, it's a minute-by-minute thing. But when we understand that our life is not our own anymore, that we are now in partnership with God on this mission to reach the world for him, everything changes. We will start looking at the world differently. The way we look at the world changes. The way we look at God's creation changes. And we start to weep at this idea of someone who doesn't know who Jesus is. Just as Jesus weeps over each and every lost person, each person who rejects the truth of the gospel. The passage continues in 34, and it says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her, how often I want to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. I want to break this down just a little bit for you this morning. That first part, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, it kind of loses something in the English, to be honest with you. Moving it from the Greek to the English kind of loses something. You know, this isn't Jesus just shouting. This isn't Jesus angry in his response by any means. Instead, this is Jesus crying out in a broken heart over Jerusalem. When he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, it's like Jesus is saying, my beloved city, my chosen people, the place that I have sent all these prophets to, my heart breaks for you. You've rejected every prophet that I have sent to you. And now you're rejecting the very prophet that you were told about, the Messiah being sent to you. This is like the heart of a grieving father for his children, wanting nothing more than the relationship with them. And when he says, who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her? He's echoing that of the Old Testament prophets who wept over the stubbornness of God's people, who refused to turn from their old life and back to the Father. And you know, over and over again throughout history, Israel has turned their backs on the prophets that God sent them. Instead, they constantly turn to false idols and false gods. They look for things of this world to bring them joy, peace, and comfort. Yet through each one of these times, they found themselves further and further from any of that. But you know, we do the same thing inside of our culture. We like the idea of God. Our culture loves the idea of God, especially this idea of a God that loves us. Doesn't that sound nice, warm, and fuzzy? A God who loves us, and he does. But we don't like this idea of a God that calls us to a holy life. We don't like this idea of a God that calls us to an obedient life. So what do? We try to twist who God is. We try to make him who we want him to be. And as the world shifts, we start calling good evil and evil good. And when someone calls us out, when someone tries to steer us back to the truth of God's word, the truth of the gospel, we try to tear them down just as they've kept trying to tear down the different prophets. You know, there's a reason that God gives us people in our lives. There's a reason that God has given us people to call us back to him. It's often for our own protection. It's for calling us back into relationship with him where we're safe. It's like this last part of the passage here in verse 34. Go back. You were on the right one. The last part of the passage on verse 34. It says, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. You see, God wants nothing more than to gather us under his wings, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, to protect us from the dangers of not only this world, but the dangers of our sin. To protect us from the things that create this divide between us and our Heavenly Father. But man, can we be stubborn? You know, often when we think about how God protects us and how God watches over us and we get into a car accident or we have something happen, we're like, God, where were you at? Why did this happen? What we don't often understand is that God is protecting us, not just in the physical, but it's the spiritual as well. He's protecting our souls and where we spend eternity. We need to understand this. God's protection is not just about the physical. Our bodies are all going to decay at some point, but our souls go on forever. And God is trying to gather us back in like a hen gathers her chicks to watch over us and to keep us safe. That's why he sent his son Jesus to protect us from the dangers of not just the world, but of our sin. Because he understands that not all the dangers in this world mean nothing compared to the dangers of the sin in our lives. Because the sin in our lives creates this divide between us and God. It's the thing that separates us from him. But man, can we be stubborn? Instead, we get stuck on this cycle where God pursues us, but what do? We resist him. Where God calls us, but what do? We hide from him. Where God gathers us together and we scatter from him. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we're all guilty of this at different times. We know God is pursuing us, where God wants us to have a more intimate relationship with us. But so often we resist taking that next step with God because we're fearful of what it may cost us. You know, there's often times that God calls us to a particular mission or a particular task. It may be simply to go talk to our neighbor about the love that he has for us. Maybe he's called you out on the mission field somewhere. You know, we've got missionaries in the Middle East right now that are in the areas that it's illegal to convert somebody to Christianity. By the way, they'll be here in the middle of August, so mark your calendars. They're coming back for a quick visit. But God calls us to different areas, and what do we do inside of those moments? We try to hide from that calling. I'm guilty of that. I've done that. I've ran hard from the callings that God has placed on my life at times. We don't want to say yes in that moment because we're scared of what it might cost us. I'm going to be honest, I was scared of what it might cost me too. But I've gained so much more following what God has called me to do than what I ever lost by the worldly standards. In the same way he gathers us together, the world tries to scatter us apart. I want you guys to know that God never gives up on that chase after us. He's always there with his arms wide open and ready to draw us back into him. His love is persistent. It is constant calling out to us. And the question is not whether God is willing to embrace us, whether God is willing to forgive us, or whether God is willing to be in relationship with us. The question is, are you willing to do that with God? Are you willing to dedicate your life to him? And I want you to know that it breaks God's heart every time the world rejects him. And it breaks God's heart every time that we reject him. His love for us is that deep. You know, sometimes we joke around, well, huh, you made Jesus cry. You really did. That is a reality of it. When we reject God, it wounds him deeply because he created us, and he created us in his image, not in our own image, not by some mistake. Out of all of creation, he created you and I in his image, and his love for us is that deep. And Jesus closes out in this final verse, verse 35, where he states, "See, your house is abandoned to you. I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Israel had been ignoring God. And ignoring God brought about disastrous results for them. And here again, we see Israel had abandoned one of God's messenger. Only this time, the messenger was God himself, the very Messiah that had been promised to them. Their opportunity was coming to a close. And they will not see him again until it's too late. And this broke Jesus' heart. My question to you this morning is simple. Are you rejecting Christ, or are you chasing after him? Are you more concerned about things of this world and how you appear to your friends and family, or are you more concerned with how you appear to Christ? Because I'm going to tell you, he's chasing after you. He has a desire for that deeper relationship with you. And only you can make that choice. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the love that he has for each and every one of us. Father, that he wants none of us to go without knowing you. Lord, I ask that this morning that you work inside of our hearts, that we may examine ourselves here this morning. That we may see if we are walking with you as you've called us to. Father, are we just putting on a facade when we walk into church, or is our heart overjoyed to hear your name? Father, our desire is not to make you weep, but that you may find joy inside of us. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name.
Joy is mine.
whose resurrection means I'll rise. There isn't time enough to sing of all you've done, but I have eternity to try. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever.
This week, may you just remember the love that Jesus has for each and every one of you. If you've not heard it in a while, you are no mistake. God made no mistake when He made you. He loves you, He cherishes you, and you were made in His image. And He desires nothing more than be in a relationship with you. All you need to do is turn around. He's standing right there, ready for you. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.